I went at your bidding and passed along their thoroughfares of trade. I ascended their mountains and went down their valleys. I visited their manufacturers, their commercial markets, and emporiums of trade. I entered their judicial courts and legislative halls, but I sought everywhere in vain for the secret of their success. That is, until I entered the church. It was there, as I listened to the soul-equalizing and soul-elevating principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they fell from Sabbath to Sabbath upon the masses of the people, that I learned why America was great and free, and why France was a slave. Alexis de Tocqueville, French historian, reporting to the French Senate in 1800. A few years before Dr. D. James Kennedy passed away, I spent an afternoon with him at his church in Florida. Dr. Kennedy was the founder of the world-renowned Coral Ridge Ministries, known for stating on national television regarding abortion, that is, while pointing his finger at his viewers, 4,000 die daily and 300,000 pulpits are silent. On one occasion, Dr. Kennedy told me that while he was holding a large convention at his church, the homosexual lobby was protesting him. A pastor attending the convention was shocked and asked, "Why is your church being protested?" James Kennedy corrected this pastor with a relevant question to his question. "You mean your church doesn't get protested?" Friends, Protestant has meaning. Protestant. America is looking for the Christ that the 78% of Americans claim that they serve. Agree or disagree with Reverend Charles Finney? Well, he stated, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, friends, the pulpit is responsible for it." How deprived is the understanding of the modern church when it comes to its own history? Nowadays, effeminate hirelings have infiltrated the pulpits. Pulpits they have no business occupying. And by the looks of them, I can see why the enemies of America are so encouraged. Instead of preaching against sin, transgression of God's moral law, 1 John 3:4, these hirelings accept sin, attempting to cover it with a false grace, read Isaiah 30, and in so doing, they teach their congregants to war against a just and a holy God, Micah 3:5. What a contrast to the preachers who thundered from America's pulpits before, during and after the Revolutionary War, causing the colonists to stand up to the face of tyranny. The British labeled them as the much-feared Black Robe Regiment. The British were not the only ones who recognized them as the bulwarks of America's independence. Mighty men they were, of iron nerve and strong hand, an unbalanced cheek and heart of flame. God needed not reeds shaken by the wind, not men clothed in soft raiment, Matthew 11:7 through 8, but heroes of hardihood and lofty courage. And such were the sons of the mighty who responded to the divine call. Bishop Charles Galloway, 1898. The ministers of the Revolution were like their Puritan predecessors, bold and fearless in the cause of their country. No class of men contributed more to carry forward the Revolution and to achieve our independence than did the ministers. By their prayers, patriotic sermons, and services, they rendered the highest assistance to the civil government, the army, and the country. Historian B.F. Morris, 1864. The Constitutional Convention and the written Constitution were the children of the pulpit. Historian Alice Baldwin, 1918. Today, the professed church is attempting to flee from its responsibility to be part of the political process when, in fact, God is the one who gave government, read Exodus 18:21. The church is to overcome evil with good, and as our forefathers rightly stated, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. And friends, might I remind you that God is always willing. A test of a Christian character is what he does after he comes to the blockade in the road and what his attitude is after everything has left him except Jesus. You will never know down here that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have left. You will never be able to tell the world for sure what he will do in a crisis unless you learn to live in crisis. Lester Roloff. President Franklin Pierce was right when he stated that the storm of frenzy and faction must inevitably dash itself in vain against the unshaken rock of the Constitution. How right he is. President James Knox Polk said, "One great object of the Constitution in conferring upon the President a qualified negative upon the legislation of Congress was to protect minorities from injustice and oppression by majorities."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Folks, this week we've been on a track that I did not expect. We just started getting led in that direction, and that's the direction that we took, Romans 8:14. And it's what we've been on, and what we've been talking about, folks, is the cesspool of indoctrination and how it just incrementally gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And because the people tolerate it, namely the parents not only tolerate it but aid it, concerning corruption within the federal government, again, who has no business indoctrinating anybody's kid. It's a violation of the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Continuously going to get worse because the people still keep throwing their kids into a public school. And then, I mean, outside of the fact that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we were highlighting different topics. And then yesterday, I had highlighted the fact that they were actually setting the kids up through something called Teen Survey to put them on dangerous psychotropic drugs concerning a prime example of a fictitious disease. And I didn't say that. The founder, Leon Eisenberg, who's now in hell because he's eating the fruit of his own ways, Romans 6:23, he's the one that said that on his deathbed. I don't know if he thought he was going to be exonerated, if he was going to be covered because he told the world the truth before he died. Whatever the case, it doesn't matter. Okay, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we've been talking about just, you know, the things that the kids have been subjected to and what the parents are subjecting their young people to. And I want to say this too. It doesn't just apply to the moms and the dads, folks, because I want to tell you what. Out of the schools that I've done, out of the colleges that I've done, out of the 3,000 public events that I've done, speaking engagements across the country, it's not like I'm like related to them in the sense of that they're my immediate family, but the Bible does tell me to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And it does tell me that my brother is my responsibility because I am my brother's keeper. So I'm looking at, and this is what's missing from America all across the boards, is biblical love, which fulfills the law. And what is the fulfilling of the law? To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it tells us that in the end times that the love of many will wax cold because of the workers of iniquity. So in other words, what I'm telling you is make contrast between what real love is and going out there and following the Christ and seeking and saving that which is lost. Luke 19:10, Mark 16:15, the list goes on. And to those that don't. Because there's one thing to just highlight the problem, but there's another, it's another thing to actually take responsibility and go out to them young people, not just in high schools, but also into the colleges as well, and to reach out to them, because at the end of the day, they are our responsibility. We're on one island, friends, together. We're in this together. The whole world is in this together, regardless if they want to see it that way or not. And there is a war for the souls of men, and Satan means to take out as many as he possibly can. Well, it's for the job of the church to be on the offensive and, to give people understanding by what we do that the Lord is who he says he is, and he always has been, but we have to get out there and meet him on his terms. And in the process of doing so, we're going to go ahead and throw the net out, and we are going to win the souls that the enemy means to steal away. Folks, that is our objective here. We win. Everything is done for us. That's all we have to do is take the righteousness of Christ and apply it to ourselves by faith, because we've been justified, we've been regenerated, and in the process of doing so, folks, we're assured of the absolute victory when it comes to everything that we're willing to fight for. But there it is. We have to first be willing to fight for us, 1 Timothy 6:12. Now, I want to get to this because I want to lay the foundations. Over the last 3 days, we've been exposing the corruption. We've been exposing the problems. We've been exposing the tyrants and the corrupt in these agencies and in the halls of government. And first and foremost, from the pulpits in the Church of America and those that confess to be what they clearly are not. We've gone through all of that. I want to build. And I want to go back to the beginning. Jeremiah 6:16 tells us to go back to the old past. And what I want to do there is I want to go back to the old past. Interestingly enough, I was just talking to my wife right before the show, and I'm reading a book on predestination by a theologian by the name of R.C. Sproul. And I love theology. I absolutely do, because they break it down for you. They give you the definitions of words from English to Latin to Hebrew to Greek, so on and so forth. And you just chew on more. And as you dig deeper and deeper, you get a greater understanding of our inheritance in Christ, because the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ, but keep in mind, we're also his inheritance, right? And we want to receive the fullness of that through the merit of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing here. But going back to our forefathers, I was talking to my wife and I just said, isn't it interesting that when you look, like, for example, if you go to Williamsburg and you look at the colonial times and those that established what we have today and how they were established through and what they established through canon law and ecclesiastical law, church law, common law, as you know it, that's how we are established. God gave government 1821, 1825 of Exodus. And when you begin to understand that and you look at some of the graves of our forefathers and you look at what's on top of their graves, it's like these guys were deep in Christian theology. They understood what they were talking about. Let me say it this way so carnal men can understand. 1 Corinthians 2:14. They were intellectual giants, but they were also righteous men in Christ, and they understood their inheritance. And if it wasn't true, we wouldn't be here 250 years later. So you have that, and with that, I want to go back to that, and I want to go ahead and paint the picture so you understand again who we are, not what the revisionists would have you believe we are. Now, before we get to this, I want to go ahead and give you a little analogy here. There's a father that started for his office early one morning, and there was a light snowfall. And turning, this father saw a little two-year-old boy endeavoring to put his tiny feet in his own great footprints. Well, this little boy said, "Go on, eyes are coming, Papa. Eyes are coming, yighten your tracks." The father caught the boy in his arms and carried him to his mother. He then proceeded to start for the office, and his habit had been to stop on the way at a bar every morning for a glass of liquor. As he drove up to the bar that morning, he seemed to hear a sweet voice saying, "Go on, eyes are coming, Papa, eyes are coming, yighten your tracks." He stopped, he hesitated, he looked the future squarely in the face. He then said to himself, "I cannot afford to make any tracks. I would be ashamed or sorry to have my little 2.5-year-old boy walk in." And he drove away, never to return to the bar again. And that's exactly what we've been talking about, folks. In the sense of those that have been complaining about their kids, Luke 7:35 tells us that wisdom is justified by her children. It can not only be done for evil, but it can also be done for the good. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. 281-845-4704. We'll be right back. Hello, WPNN 790 AM and 103.7 FM. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Just a quick heads up and invitation. We are coming back to Pensacola to face off with them that didn't want you to hear what it is that they have failed to preach. We're going to be at Sonny's Barbecue, 630 North Navy Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, Friday, April 25th at 6 p.m., and we hope to see you there.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends. As you are to be the compeers of angels, nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. If you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. 10 to 15 articles over there from contributors all over the country. By the way, on Saturday's show, just want to give you a real quick heads up. We got a special guest for you, and I'll give you more information as we roll into this weekend show from 1 to 3 Central Standard Time. But with that, you can always find us the morning show on the right, the afternoon show on the left. That is sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, the articles. Also, check out the store. And friends, if you're a first-time viewer or listener to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, folks, go ahead, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and see what people have experienced concerning the ministry, because it's not for me to tell you that, it's for them to tell you that, right? That your faith might be found in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2:5, 1 Corinthians 4:20, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, not in Bradley. So go ahead and check it out, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. And one more thing, also check out the schedule, friends. We got some dates coming up. We got two coming up in Florida, and then we got another one here in Minneapolis, which I'm looking forward to. If you want to book us, now's the time to do it. We got a little leeway in there. That number's 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Also, check us out on beforeitsnews.com. We're on the front top left side of that page as well, beforeitsnews.com. And one more time, if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Stick to the topic, please. Add to, take away, contend, whatever the case might be, Jude 3 and 4. 1-281-845-4704. And folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. So now listen, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Period, right? And again, whose responsibility is it for us, the adults, to raise up the children? We are, right? It's not for them to raise up their adults. And it's interesting how much I've seen that across the country. I did School of Mines in Rapid City, South Dakota, just earlier this year. I believe it was earlier this year. And it was amazing to listen to those college kids talk about how their parents failed the test on them and how they had to pick up the ball and take care of their parents. Folks, that's completely backwards. It's absolutely, it's just one of those, it's inexcusable. It really, truly is. Now, I'm not talking about a parent that gets sick and the kids have to take care of them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking responsibility and raising up their children and failing to do so, where the child has to come in when he's old enough to start take care of the parent who should have knew better. That's what I'm talking about. So, again, here we are. Folks, again, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that? Friends, because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Now, let's get to this. I was talking about the forefathers and what it is. And folks, I can't even, what I'm going to share with you right now is so far backwards from what you have been taught and lied to concerning the revisionists and the useful idiots in the mainstream media. I had brought up during, I think it was Tuesday's show, the lesson book that and what it was that entailed, the context of the book and the content of the books that were given to children in America at its very inception by none other than McGuffey's Third Reader. And I highlighted the fact that they were teaching kids in America, right, this is what our forefathers taught their kids, extremely intelligent people, character of Jesus Christ, the golden rule, extract from the Sermon on the Mount, Solomon's wise choice, the goodness of God, gospel invitation, Christian light and hope, awake Zion, on prayer, so on and so forth. I also gave you a quote by none other than Martin Luther when he said, I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. He said, every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's word becomes corrupt. I greatly fear that the schools, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently, that word means painstakingly, and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just talking about how smart our forefathers were. Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration of Independence, he entered college at the age of 10 years old. Fisher Ames entered Harvard at the age of 12. Not what you see today, by the way. Benjamin Rush graduated Princeton at the age of 14 years old. John Trumbull, I mean, you should see his resume here, folks. It's incredibly. It's very belittling to what we see in America today. Matter of fact, I would advise even homeschoolers, that are going through some homeschooling program concerning what it is that they're being taught. I'd be careful of the content that's being taught to kids even at homeschool today, friends, because much of it is modified and it's been watered down and revised as well. And the reason I'm telling you that is always tell your kids, friends, always raise the bar to the level of expectation, which is in Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, that's who we're going to be judged by, Acts 17:31. And the reason I'm saying that is because when you look at the intellectual understanding of our forefathers at such a young age, it really is impressive to say the least. Again, let me go back to John Trumbull. He was a law student under John Adams, Justice and Connection of the Supreme Court. He read through the Bible at age 4 years old. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. He beat a minister in a Greek contest at the age of 6 years old. He passed Yale entrance at the age of 7.5 years old. These are your forefathers. And you know what's interesting is I know how the revisionists would have you believe that our forefathers were dumb as rocks, but the opposite is true. Our forefathers weren't attacking their descendants. No, the descendants are now attacking the forefathers because of their ignorance. Right? And again, we got to put this into perspective. John Trumbull was held back by his parents until the age of 13 years old when he then entered into college. Go to Andrew Jackson. By the way, he was a Minuteman at the age of 7 years old. He was fighting a war at 7 years old, friends. Seventh president of the United States of America, soldier in the American Revolution. POW under the British. John Quincy Adams, another one, sixth U.S. president, performed drills with Minutemen at the age of 8 years old. So if you got anything to complain about, friends, you better blow it the other direction, because our forefathers and what they left us will have none of the excuses that the modern day American has to offer up. Received a congressional appointment to be a secretary to the ambassador at court to Catherine the Great in Russia at the age of 14 years old. William Livingston, signer of the Constitution, he lived as a missionary to the Indians at 14 years old. I know, and you've been told again, all the bad things that our forefathers did to all of those Indians. No, folks, who told you that? And I'm not saying some of it didn't happen, but I'm asking you, who told you that? You better do your due diligence, because at the end of the day, Deuteronomy 9:15 tells us who establishes what for who. Okay, it's not up to man to decide. It's up for the Lord to do so. And again, keep it into context. Read Deuteronomy 9:15 when you get a moment. James Ivedell, Supreme Court Justice, appointed to public office in North Carolina to oversee finances at 17 years old. I'm highlighting the intellect of our forefathers, okay? And I want you to understand where that came from, okay? Again, we have an outstanding number of forefathers. I give you a whole list of what they were a part of concerning the denominations. They were Christian preachers, many of them. They were Christian men and women that were used and ordained by God to establish what it is that we have today. Again, I do a whole show on that. And what you've been told about who they are today, the opposite is true. Let me say it again. The opposite is true. Let's go back to our forefathers, and I want to go back to the elementary students, and I want you to understand some of the words that were given to them in fifth grade. You ready for this? Can anybody tell me what the word contumelious means? A fifth grader could. How about ichthyology? A fifth grader could at the beginning of this country. Brachiotomy. A fifth grader could give us the definition. Loquacious. Mendacity. Armigerous. Vertiginous, oliginous, acthenous. I mean, folks, this is pretty awesome stuff. Now, let me go back, and I want you to check this out as well. Did you know that in the fifth grade, the questions that were thrown to students in America, again, just showing you how far we have fallen, but again, establishing now that we have torn down, what is the fifth commandment? That would be a first grade question in America. By the way, many people that profess to be Christians in this country more than not cannot even answer these questions that fifth graders knew and four-year-old kids knew at the beginning of this country. What is the fifth commandment? What is required in the fifth commandment? What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? Pretty impressive stuff, folks. I'm going to come right back. We're going to keep laying this foundation. We're building today. 281-845-4704.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at brighteonradio.com.
Doug Hagman here, host of the Hagman Report, author, career investigator of three decades. I once wondered if there was anyone out there who could guide our current and future generations to a value of the nation past and the reverence to God and then our Judeo-Christian values. Well, I found that man. His name is Bradley Dean. He's the host of the nationally syndicated radio broadcast show, The Sons of Liberty, and he's a dynamic speaker. Folks, help us restore our greatness. Listen to Bradley Dean, The Sons of Liberty. Book him for your next conference, assembly, or other event. Do it today.
It's called sowing a thought. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Remember, friends, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Charles Spurgeon rightly stated that no man is perfectly clean till he accepts absolute purity as the standard by which he is to be judged. Interestingly enough, we find in Acts 17:31, it states, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus, whom he hath foreordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Benjamin Rush was right when he stated, controversy is only dreaded by the advocates of error. Don't ever forget.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
There are many self-proclaimed Christian commentators on TV, radio, and the internet, and none of them speak so plainly and tell the whole and uncompromising truth of God's Word like Bradley Dean. Bradley applies the Word of God to current events and news like no one else. So, if you want the unfiltered truth from an authentic Christian perspective, I can't recommend anyone higher than Bradley Dean and his team at the Sons of Liberty.
Showing you the tracks that should be followed. That's what we're talking about today. The tracks that should be followed. That's why I have to go back to the old past to show you the very tracks that we should all be following and setting forth an example, right, for our kids, not the other way around. I was just highlighting the fact that in fifth grade in this country, at the beginning, the inception of this country, our forefathers put in the McGuffey readers such question as, what is the fifth commandment? Here, I'm just going to give you the answers, okay? Honor your father and your mother. It's the fifth commandment, Exodus 20. What is required in the fifth commandment? Well, to honor your father and your mother. Honor means to hold in high esteem. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? Well, what's forbidden is to dishonor your parents. And if you look at that in the Old Testament, folks, I'll tell you what, that was calling forth a rock party in a big way. Talking about what our forefathers established, let's go back to this. I was talking about George Washington at the beginning of the show. Did you know that he said this was common knowledge and you had to pass these courses before you could graduate in 1962. Okay, so all of this stuff that you're being told about how the courts are now saying you can pray in school and you can read your Bible, it's all nonsense. You never lost the right, friends. Again, it's confusion by design, Daniel 9:7. Read it when you get a moment. George Washington said, you do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and a happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can assist you in this wise intention. Isn't that a little odd? I mean, is that what we're being told today? Is that what they're teaching today? Absolutely not. I'm just going through, giving you a bunch of information. I can guarantee you, friends, that you did not have. You ready for the next one? I love this because, again, let's just kind of bob back and forth. When you go to the colleges now, for example, you look at Harvard. I talked about Harvard earlier. Not at all what you're seeing today. Matter of fact, did you guys know that criminal sodomite foreigner Barack Hussein Obama appointed a woman that thinks she's a man that was appointed over Harvard to queerify Harvard? And she also, as a matter of fact, attacked our military. She now sits on the court and she speaks louder than anybody else. And she's the most unqualified. And yes, I'm talking about Alina Kagan. And don't think for one moment they don't know who she is, friends. They confirmed her. Your senators did. Okay. She is now sitting on the bench, and they would all have you believe that Harvard is this liberal college. Well, that might be the case today, but let's go back. And by the way, when you highlight the word liberal, do understand the word liberal within itself is an outstanding definition. You've now allowed the revisionists to take that word and to water it down to now believe that it's a bad word when in fact it is not. Liberal means, you know, an abundance I give. Out of an abundant heart I give. I'm very gracious. I'm very giving on so many different fronts. That's what the word liberal means. And they've taken that, again, to equate it to lawless people today when in fact that is not at all what the definition entails in any sense of the word. Now, let me go back over to this. I just wanted to tell you, in contrast to what they put at the Supreme Court, and you're seeing more of this all day long. Hey, Americans, let me just say this, just because I'm not going to get into all this, because I have 100 tabs on the things that have been going on over the last couple of days, but I'm going to faithfully stick to what it is that the Lord is leading us to right now, because it's important that we do. But until the American people understand the simplest lesson ever known to mankind, and again, it goes back to what you've heard a million times. It goes back to, Bradley, why do you keep bringing this up? Because you keep claiming that you want the answers, but yet when I give them to you, it's not the answer that you want, because you're the one that's going to have to bring it in. Speaking of the courts right now, friends, look at how corrupt the courts are. They're playing off each other, and I do want to say this. You've just seen this from another appointee concerning the Supreme Court that just went against the grain, sold you as the good guy. Once she got there, what did she do? She turned right back on the people that appointed her. Folks, that's not what's going on. They're playing off each other like I continuously tell you that they're doing. They're playing pro wrestling. They appoint them, and then when a favor's called in, then they attack it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the illegals that have been lured into this country treasonously by your said representatives. No justice, no judgment upon the heads of those that committed the act of treason, Article 3, Section 3. You're hearing none of that. No, because America is being distracted and they're being circumvented because they haven't taken the time to know their history. They haven't gone to school to know that your said representatives as a whole are not bringing justice to those that committed the act of treason by alluring them in. Nope, they've got your eyes on the illegals, and rightfully so, but that should be secondary to the American people bringing justice to the head of the corrupt politicians that have committed the act of treason. Should it not? Absolutely. Everybody's fighting over, well, you know what? You said you're going to get rid of the illegals, and now that they're there, we just had some corrupt Supreme Court appointee, a plant that has handlers, that's doing what she's supposed to do because she's told us to do it, and if she doesn't, then this is what's going to happen. And the American people are let, oh, look at how she turned out. As if to suggest she has more power in this particular case than the President of the United States of America, who promised to uphold the Constitution. And I'm thinking of Article 2, Section 3, under Article 6, Section 2, the Supremacy Clause, to faithfully execute the laws. But the laws are being enforced, friends, against the illegals, but not the ones that lured them in. So they've got your eye off the ball. Let me go full circle, and this is my point. The reason you're in trouble is because you think that somehow or another they're going to hold each other accountable. It's just not going to happen. They're in it together. You're not a part of the club. And when is it that the American people are going to figure all of this out? Furthermore, let me take it a step further, and you can write it down. It's April 10th, and it is 2:40 right now. Write this down. All of this aimed at the said illegals is not aimed at the illegals. It's aimed at their political opposition. Mark my words. And if you think otherwise, you better shut your TV off and start doing some homework so you can understand the incremental workings of a tyrant and a tyrannical system. Everybody's in trouble except the corrupt governors and the corrupt administrations and the corrupt mayors across the country that allured these illegals in the first place. Now they're warring and saying, you know what, we can't kick them out. And these guys are saying, yeah, you can. But again, they got your eyes on the wrong party. Yeah, that's secondary, but lay the axe to the root of the tree. And the point that I want to make, friends, is if you don't bring justice upon the heads of the guilty in this country, you are going to continuously be turned into the hell that the Lord promised that you would. Why? Because you have forsaken his commandments. You've forsaken his judgments and his statutes. That's why. Isn't mercy shown to those that keep the commandments and fear the Lord? Yep, that's right. Hey, folks, the Lord's not going to offer mercy to a bunch of revolters and rebellious individuals. My goodness, folks, I'll pick up on that tomorrow or the next day. But, folks, this as to what's going on here is exactly what I told you it was going to happen. They're not going to remove the illegals because it's not aimed at them, because the preceding criminal administration, treasonous administration, allured them in. And if you look, if you have eyes, open your eyes, look all around, look at all the apartment complexes that are being built, all the little condos that are being built all over the state in which you live. And you're going to tell me they're going to remove the illegals? Nope, that's not what it's about. Just again, ask the DHS. It's aimed at you, Americans. It's aimed at you. So let's get back to this. We're talking about the tracks that we should be laying for our kids, because that's what our forefathers established for us. And going back to Harvard, where Alina Kagan came from, it's interesting that when you look at Harvard's, when you look at the history of Harvard, I don't think people are really going to believe this, but if you want to call in, you can, because I'm here to tell you that what I'm giving you is 100% factual information. Harvard was started by the Congregationalists for training ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For all of you that want to say that's just absolutely not true, for all of you that just say, look at how liberal they become, that's a reflection of what you haven't done. Okay, that's not what our forefathers established. And it's the church's job to right the wrong, Isaiah 58, verse 12. Produced signers of the Declaration such as John Adams, John Hancock, Samuel Adams, William Ellery, and I can go on, folks. Signers of the Constitution as well. Other prominent leaders, Fisher Ames, Timothy Pickering, Washington, Adams, they all came from Harvard, folks. I want you to listen carefully. Did you know that the slogan and the two mottos given to the American people through Harvard, you know, that college that was raised up to be there for the purpose of raising up ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The two models are for Christ in the church. If you need any better proof than what I'm telling you right now, why don't you go online and go ahead and look at the inscriptions that are on the wall, because they're still there. For Christ and the church, for the glory of Christ. That's the models of Harvard. Harvard's directive to students is let every student plainly be instructed and consider well that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17:3. And therefore to lay Christ as the bottom and the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. So again, going back to what it is that our forefathers established and what was being taught in public schools lines itself up perfectly as to what we see coming out of the colleges that they established during the same period of time. 281-845-4704. On the other side, I'm going to get over to Yale, folks, and then I'm going to show you how many colleges were established across the country for the very purpose of raising up ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got it. We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BVS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BVS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today. Hello friends, this is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty. Just a quick heads up, not only will we be doing events in Pensacola, Florida, but we will also be doing the Sons of Liberty Conference with Alex Newman and other guest speakers to be announced. This will take place at Grace Community Church, 1060 West Granada Boulevard, Ormond Beach, Florida, just outside of Daytona, April 22nd, 2025 at 6 to 8 p.m. Hope to see you there. Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends, as you are to be the compeers of angels. Nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. I know I'm dumping a lot of information on you guys. I'm going to keep going here, but if you want to jump in, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Let's go over to Yale really quick, just so you know who you are and where you came from. This is coming from what our forefathers established. Also started by Congregationalists. For training what? Ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, you know what? If I see something that needs to be fixed and it's not turning out to be the way it was supposed to be for its original purposes or intents and purposes, Is it not for us to take responsibility and fix the issue? Absolutely. It's amazing to me how in this country, if something gets to the point where it just starts to spin out, the people just leave it. And instead of doing their due diligence as to the Lord that he commanded them to do, what they do is they find their favorite politician who promises to do what he never does. Boy, that is, I mean, as if to suggest that's going to justify the situation somehow. It's going to fix the problem or right the wrong. And you know, it's like what I hear all day long on the radio, friends. I see it all day long. Everybody talks about all the issues that are going on in this country. I'm just here to tell you all these issues that are going on in the country are there because the American people failed to take responsibility to fix them. That's just the truth of the matter. You're not going to sit there and blame somebody else for what you've left undone. No, American, Numbers 32, 23. You can run, but you cannot hide. Your sin is finding you out. Period. Let's go over to Yale. I can give you all these names concerning the Declaration signers, the Constitutional signers, other prominent leaders. But let me just go ahead and give it to you real quick so you can hear it, because I want to make a couple other points before the end of the show. So we got all these other prominent leaders from Yale. And then when we look at Yale and how it admonished students, it says, above all, have an eye to the great end of all of your studies, which is to obtain the clearest conceptions of divine things and to lead you to a saving knowledge of God and his son, Jesus Christ. Don't sit there and tell me what the revisionists have told you. Don't sit there and parrot in my ear what the mainstream media's useful idiots and revisionists have caused you to believe. No, they haven't caused you to believe nothing outside of what you've willfully taken on. Okay, what I'm giving you is absolutely what our forefathers established. And again, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to go back to the old paths, and that's the way of peace, not the new way. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, it tells us to avoid the new way. I believe it's Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. So when you go back over to Yale, I just gave you another one. All scholars are to be a religious Christian and blameless. They're supposed to lead a blameless life according to the rules of God's word, diligently reading the Holy Scripture and continually attending the duties of religion. I want to say this in passing because it just came up in thought. Yesterday, I had seen a guy that I used to respect out there. And the guy's been married now 3 or 4 times. It's just really weird what happened to this guy. But he gets up on the show, in one of his shows, and it was just on one of my feeds real quick. And I looked at it, and I just got caught into it was like his 10-second piece. And I thought, what's he up to? And the first thing he says is, do Christians sin? He said, yes, Christian sin, almost justifying it with a smile on his face. Remember, your sin nailed Christ to the cross, and it cost him his blood to redeem us from our sins. Ephesians 1:7. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't know that it was your job to make light of what cost the Father so much in crucifying his son on that cross to redeem us back as the propitiation of the sins of the world. But that's what they do today. Right? And I'm thinking of 1 John 2, verse 1. And I'm thinking to myself, really, dude, are you really going down? He says, the only time that I never sin is for 8 hours out of every day, the 8 hours that I'm sleeping. And again, I'm going back to understand the Word of God. And of course, I'm going through the Word and it's quickening me right away. And I'm thinking of 8:11 of John, where it says, go and sin no more. I think of John 5, where it talks about the same thing. And then I go over to 1 John and how it says the love of God is perfected in you, those that keep his word. And it tells us how in 1 John 2, 6, that we're supposed to follow him who is sinless, but yet we make light of sin. And then I think of 3, 6 of 1 John and 1 John 3, 9, and he that abideth in Christ sinneth not. And the list goes on. And I'm thinking, you know, here's man listening to the voice of the world that we're supposed to be aware of, taking on the spirit of Antichrist, which we're supposed to have nothing to do with, in making light of what Christ told us not to do. And yet these people have deceived themselves into believing that they're going to heaven. And they do it with a smile on their face. Folks, we should hate our sin. We should stand against our sin at every given opportunity. You should also understand that when our obedience is fulfilled, we're supposed to take vengeance on all disobedience. And yet, what do we hear from the modern day preachers? Just the exact opposite. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep using that grace of God as an occasion for the flesh. Let me say it this way in short, because I needed to make this point. Either you're going to slay the sin, or at the end of the day, the sin's going to slay you. Jesus said those that go on in their sin are going to die in their sin. And you're going to go where sinners go. I want you to understand that Christian liberty is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Okay? Just wanted to make clear. I am tired of what I see out there. Well, Bradley, what about you? First of all, I said willful sin, and this is what they're talking about. I'm not talking about inadvertently, spontaneously sinning. I'm talking about those that meditate on it and do it willfully, that use the grace of God as an occasion for their flesh. For those that look at me and say, well, are you better than I am? I didn't say that. I have no righteousness within myself outside of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, period. And you need to understand that. And if you really understood that, you wouldn't have been as biblically illiterate to say such a foolish thing. Why? Because I'm not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. And don't ever forget it. Not fallen man and his willful excuses, okay? Let's go over to this. Let's go to Princeton. Princeton was also started by Presbyterians to train ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the tracks that should be followed here, friends. John Witherspoon, he was the president of Princeton. He said, every student shall attend worship in the college hall morning and evening and shall attend public worship on the Sabbath. There shall be assigned to each class certain exercises for their religious instruction, and no student belonging to any class shall neglect them. To any. It wasn't optional. It didn't start out that way, friends. Nope. It was, this is what you're doing. See, because the parents were the parents to their kids. Somehow or another, parents today says, you know, I'm best friends with my kid. You're not called to be best friends with your kid. You're called to be their dad, and you're called to be their mom as you follow the Lord. And if you're going to be honored in such a fashion, then you better do it his way and forsake your own way in adhering to his. Also wanted to highlight one more thing. I got two more minutes here. And the next set of information that I'm going to give you is, honestly, I absolutely love it. Proven elements of sound education, what was taught in public schools is Christianity, morality, two sides of the same coin, knowledge, three sides to the same coin, instilled in the school, home, church, and communities. We were established as a Christian nation, and that's why every president to this day continuously acknowledges the fact that we still are. That has not changed. And rest assured, if you don't correct the issues, the Lord's going to correct the issues through judgment, and you're going to wish that you would have when you had the time to do it. So I suggest that we all turn, ask mercy from the Lord, and right the wrongs, and getting back to the old path so our children can have a future and a hope. Now, I was just going to highlight the fact, and I'm looking for it right now, but when you look at in 1860, did you know that 262 of the 282 colleges in this country, did you know that they were ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The presidents were. Did you know that over one-third of faculty were the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all those colleges? Did you know that over 90% had chapel services in all the colleges in 1890 in this country? 50% had compulsory chapel, 25% required church attendance. That is if they didn't go on their own. And folks, again, it goes on and on and on and on. And folks, we have no excuse. This is what our forefathers established, and it's what they meant to continue on for the duration of this country. I want to say this in ending, America is way too young to die. Way too young. We have to take responsibility, and it doesn't have to be a majority of us, but we have to take responsibility and right the wrongs here, friends, and I hope that you'll join me in doing just that. Go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Check out the store. All your orders go out first thing in the morning. Love you by what we do. Talk to you in 23. See ya.